combine thanks to Max Upon, Wabi, Vikings.com, Paul Allen, Vikings General Manager Rick Spielman joins us now. Leslie Frazier will be on the radio with us tomorrow. Mr. Spielman, welcome to the 2012 NFL Scouting Combine. Your first time here in X amount of years as a general manager. As vice president of player personnel, you were kind of the general manager. What's from a Viking standpoint, with the title and now with the 1 month run or whatever since the elevation, what's different?
I think the biggest thing that's different is being able to implement some of the things you need to think or that you want to implement to try to make your team better. Implementing some philosophies. So there are a lot of different things that are going on in a building, and even just the people that are reporting to you and the things that you're getting from an information standpoint to help you make those best decisions is totally different than it was in the past.
You know, like from my standpoint here in talking to all these media members, meeting personnel people, seeing scouts and stuff like that, you just generate so much excellent background information to carry up through free agency, then through the draft, and the National Football League is second to none at staying in the news month after month after month. From a general managerial standpoint, you're here to interview the kids, and you're here to get ready for the draft, obviously, but how much of it is laying the groundwork for free agency and with agents and people like that, maybe establishing trades, stuff like that?
You talk to teams about potential trades. We talk to our agents about our players only. You can't go beyond that. It's illegal, you know, to talk to them about the upcoming free agent market.
Yep.
So, but basically you're getting a lot of information. Like, we had two meetings last night with agents that are players currently on our team.
Yep.
And we'll have six more today. And I think we end up with eight more on Friday. So you get a lot of business done, and it's great because everybody's in one spot, one area, where you can get a lot accomplished over this next 7-8 days.
Well, see, that's why I'm here. That's why Wabi and I are here, because I talked to Norv Turner yesterday about Vincent Jackson, just in passing and joking around and stuff. So maybe we can be the middlemen towards anything you need and, like, relay the information like carrier pigeons.
What I need to do is give you the list, and then as you talk to people, maybe get some background information on our specific list.
I have $350 in my pocket right now for that list.
Just think about the smoke screens we could set here. We'd trick everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, you know, talking about free agency and laying the groundwork and all that and thinking about who might be available and who we're going to pick in the draft, what about stuff in-house in a new climate with the lockout last year settled, a new CBA, a new way to determine the franchise tenders? You know, one reason that I was so glad that you were named the GM is because there's going to be continuity in the front office. Working with Rob Brzezinski on figuring out the salary cap, who you might restructure, and just the new rules in the CBA. How has it been going with you and Rob working together and figuring those issues out?
We've always had a great working relationship and worked very closely together and continue to do so. And, you know, as we game plan, we've spent, you know, 3 weeks ago we went over our roster. 2 weeks ago we went over all the potential UFAs that will be out there. Our coaches were involved in those meetings. Rob was involved in those meetings, our scouts, myself. And then last week we spent the last 8 days going over the draft. So what I'm doing right now is putting together a game plan on, you know, who we want to sign back, who we may have to release, how we're going to replace those players. Is it going to be through free agency? Is it going to be because it's very deep at that position in the draft? So you lay out your game plan as you go forward and how you're going to fill some of the needs that you have to fill.
How many? What combine is this for you? What number?
22.
Okay, so 22. So
Chris Mortensen and Gil Brandt came up together with Sammy Baugh.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So you have a way of doing things. You know how to do it, how to operate here. But there's a little bit of a different dynamic for the Vikings this year because we coached and were intimately involved in the Senior Bowl, right? So how does that change your philosophy? Is it all juniors here for you, or how is it different?
We will still get in front. Now, we spend a lot of time down at the Senior Bowl. We know those players pretty well. Our coach has got an opportunity to spend a week with them, so we won't spend time with those guys here.
Right.
There was a big number of juniors that came out this year. Most of those juniors are very talented. That added a lot of depth to this draft, especially in the early part of the draft. So we'll spend a lot of time honing in on those guys. Those are the guys that we haven't talked to yet. Those are the guys that we're just now getting background information from the schools. So we're going to focus a lot of our attention on the juniors at the Combine this year.
Rick, with the lockout last year, that was the big talker when we were here last year. And there was no free agency until right up against the season. Then, boom, there we go. Let's just fly through it. What's different about free agency this year? With the fact that it was truncated last year, do you have more players in the pool, a different variety of players?
There's about a little less because, remember, it was, were RFAs, UFAs, were they 6 years or were they
right.
coming out of their fourth
yeah.
year before they became unrestricted free agents? So that's cleaned up. You know, I think the biggest thing is we started free agency when we started signing our own players back, when we signed Adrian Peterson to an extension, yeah. when we signed Chad Greenway to an extension, when we were able to get John Sullivan done before the end of the season. So a key part of this is being able to identify those guys on your roster that you think are going to be a key part of your future going forward to help you win ball games. And we have a couple guys we've already targeted going into next year that we may want to look at and try to re-sign. So you try to stay a step ahead. So your top UFAs don't hit that market,
right.
that they're always going to be there. And I think a lot of teams try to take that approach because if you let a guy out at this time, more likely, you know, I saw JerMichael Finley got done in Green Bay yesterday. I think
yep.
that was the first signing I've saw in a while. But you don't want your guys, if you want them on your roster, you want to try to not have them come to this point during the offseason because they're going to wait till this UFA market comes to actually see if what their market is.
Into the 2012 season, do you look at it as a full rebuild or is it a tweak? What? How do you look at it?
We're 3-13, so
yep.
we're going to have to make some changes.
Yep.
So we're going to have to make some tough decisions as we go through the process, and we're going to have some new bodies coming in, and it's going to be a younger football team. And we're going to have to do a great job in the draft. I thought we hit on a lot of our guys in the draft last year, and we're going to have that same type of results this year. The difference is now going forward, last year we had 10 picks. This year, hopefully, we're going to have 10 by the time the compensatory picks, and we may end up more if we end up moving down from that number three spot
yep.
or moving down because we're so high in rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get us an opportunity to move back and even pick up more and accumulate more picks. So the more picks that we can accumulate, the younger this team's going to be because we're expecting all those rookies to come in and make our team and hopefully contribute either immediately or sometime down the road.
Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, Paul Allen fan from the National Football League Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium on your home for Vikings football.
I thought you got into an interesting discussion last week with some of the Twin Cities beat writers about the left tackle position and how, and I'm curious where you fall on this or if it's a case-by-case basis. But, you know, and we got into this with Paul Charchin, who was on earlier. I mean, a left tackle can be made to look a lot better if the quarterback gets the ball out on time and if you got receivers who can make the catch, right? At the
Correct.
Same time, a quarterback can look a lot better if he's given a lot of extra time because he's got a great blindside protector. I mean, so where do you fall on that, or is it a player-by-player basis?
I think it's a player-by-player basis. If that left tackle is that unique, you don't want to pass that player up. But also, I know you have to put points on the board, and you have to get players that can score points with the ball in their hand.
Right.
And all these great quarterbacks, they do such a great job, these elite quarterbacks nowadays, is because they're so familiar with the offense. They know where to go when they're reading the defense, where the weaknesses is in the coverage, and that just comes with time on the job, and that comes with experience, and they make that offensive line better. I remember with Aaron Rodgers, his first year he started, I think he got one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Last year he wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's a difference in not the offensive line as much as it is the quarterback's yeah. evolution and his maturity into the scheme.
Yep.
More with the Vikings general manager Rick Spielman from the Scouting Combine when we return to the Fan.
Now back to the NFL Combine thanks to Max at Pawn on KFAN.
With former Vikings coach Brad Childress and Chris Mortensen from ESPN, available via podcast at KFAN.com. Welcome back, Paul Allen, Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com, Joe Nelson, the on-site producer from Indianapolis at the 2012 National Football League Scouting Combine. Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, kind enough to join us for a couple of segments. Leslie Frazier will join us at this time tomorrow. With free agency approaching, it's interesting to note that free agency takes place later in March than usual. in fact, mid-March. And a lot of these rookie pro days begin in early March. For instance, I was chatting yesterday in Indianapolis after flying in with Drew Rosenhaus, and he was chatting about the University of Miami pro day, which is March 8th. So you get these pro days before free agency. That's very unique. How does it play into the process?
Before, and most of the time, after you got back from the combine, free agency usually started the first week in March. This year it's not until March 13th. So what you're seeing is a lot of these colleges are scheduling their pro days more in the front of the month of March in that first week. So there is, you know, multiple schools going on a pro day a lot of times on the same day. So what we're going to have to do, and what I will do, is probably get back from the combine, hit the road, and go out and do these pro days, and then fly back in to start the free agent, to start free agency. But they are trying to, the colleges are trying to go around that day too, and you can tell by the number of pro days that are being scheduled in that first week of March.
Even though Andrew Luck most likely will go first overall in the draft, are the Vikings well represented at like an Andrew Luck pro day?
Yeah, we're going to interview Andrew. We'll interview RG3 while we're down here. We'll spend some time with them, see what they do here at the combine. We'll have representation for sure out of those pro days. So we're going to do our due diligence on those quarterbacks as well. But in the same breath, we have a lot of confidence and feel very confident about what Christian Ponder brings to our organization as our future quarterback.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. But another reason you would go to those pro days is Baylor has a wide receiver who's very well regarded. So you go to RG3's pro day, but it's also that kid's pro day. Or Stanford has a wide receiver and a tight end that are pretty good.
And two offensive linemen that are pretty good
as well. Yeah, so there you go. So, I mean, you know, you go to those and you check those guys out too. Everyone else is paying attention to Andrew Luck, but you're looking at some other guys.
Well, we're paying attention to Andrew Luck too. Yeah. And we just want to be prepared as we go through our process where we see these quarterbacks. And, excuse me, if they fall to number three, what would you do?
Right.
And I just want to make sure we're prepared for that scenario in case that scenario happens.
Yep.
Could you draft today? If all of a sudden something happened and they said, well, we're going to hold the draft today, could you conduct the entire draft today?
It wouldn't be as detailed. The reason I would say no is because we don't have all the physicals on these players yet. We don't have all the psychological testing on these players yet. We haven't interviewed all these players yet.
Yeah.
We haven't done our full evaluations on these players yet as far as the coaches coming in and chiming in on what they think of the players and how they fit our scheme. So, sure. Do we have our initial draft board kind of set and guys in place?
Yep.
But that's going to get fine-tuned as we go through the next 2 months.
I found in following you guys from afar at the Senior Bowl, one of the most intriguing guys was Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback from North Alabama, previously with Florida. And is the interview process with him, was it there and now subsequently here? Does that get you squared away on who he is for a team that absolutely needs help in the secondary?
Yeah, he's a very talented corner. He also does returns. Very talented when he was at Florida. You know, he had those off-field issues, and that's part of the process is you have to go through those off-field issues with him, see how forthright he is, and how comfortable you feel with that player, and if he fits in with what we're looking for as a player. We had to do that with Percy Harvin because he had some issues when he came in. And ended up still drafting Percy because he was that talented of a football player and felt comfortable after we went through our process.
And Janoris, you would deem him a very talented football player, fast, good, physical?
Very good football player.
Yeah.
You know, the glitz and glamour of the combine, I mean, look where we are and all the media that's here, and there's press conferences and there's coaches and GMs walking around. But a very important part of the combine, and you just touched on it, was the medical part. And, you know, we ran into some of our medical staff as we were walking over here, and no one talks about them. They're never on camera, but that is such an important part, so much so that they come back here a couple weeks from now, right, and they do rechecks on guys.
They'll come back in April, so if a player had just had surgery and has not passed a physical, or he's still in rehab, he'll have to come back and get rechecked. The big part of this thing is you couldn't conduct all these physicals for this amount of players by them flying to everybody's facilities. You'd just run out of time. So a huge part of this process is when these players come in to get everything from the orthopedic stuff done, from the internal stuff done, from the hearing, from the eyes, everything from A to Z. This is the only chance you have, or your doctors have a chance to put their hands on these kids. And we'll identify specific guys if he has a specific knee issue or he may have a shoulder issue. How it works, we'll make sure our doctors also put their hands on him, and so we can they can give us the best advice as we go forward.
Rick, I know you hate being at 3 because to get there you had to be 3-13, but now that you're here and it's in the rearview mirror and today really is the official start of the 2012 season, and you go to the pro days and free agency and the draft and the camps and the training camp and everything. So here we are. Do you find 3 to be a very advantageous spot with the way the draft, how you think the draft is going to shake out, specifically with Robert Griffin III?
Very excited about, not excited about being a 3 because our record, but we better take advantage of being 3 because I don't plan on ever being this high again.
Right.
So if you're going to be in this situation, if you got lemons, make some lemonade, and hopefully we're going to make some lemonade coming up here.
Do you anticipate teams trying to work with you to get up to get the Baylor quarterback?
I'll anticipate on draft day it'll be very active, especially with the new CBA where the money for those top five picks from a rookie standpoint is not where it used to be.
It's doable.
So it's doable, and there's a lot more activity that's going to happen as far as trades. And when you look at this draft class and you look at this part right now, you know, those are the two top quarterbacks, and then where it falls from there, who's the next line of quarterbacks, that'll yet to be determined. But if teams think they are franchise quarterbacks and it's hard to get franchise quarterbacks and they're in striking distance to come up, I imagine it'll be pretty active on draft day.
There's so many exciting parts of the year in the NFL calendar. Driving to training camp is one of my favorite days. When we're on the team bus or the plane for the first regular season game is awesome. Middle of the season gets to playoff time. But this is you love this time, right?
This is my favorite time of year.
I can tell.
Yeah. Well, again, because we just spent 3 weeks in meetings.
Yeah.
And so written notes, stack the board.
Yeah.
And this is the first chance you're going to get to see this draft class all together and compare them as they go through drills and interviews. And now you get a chance to really start honing in and fine-tuning your draft board as you get closer to the draft.
Christian Ponder and being the starting quarterback for you next year. Is that the take, or is it still open to evaluation? You're sitting there at 3. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to play your hand here on the radio, but say Robert Griffin III is available at 3. How are you going to balance that?
Again, we're in the process of that right now. So we're very excited, again, what Christian Ponder brings to our football team. Very excited about what he did last year. Very excited about how he's going to grow and take another step going into next year. But in the same breath, you have to do your due diligence. And you have to do your due diligence on Luck. You have to do your due diligence on RG3. And you have to make that determination. And he's both those quarterbacks are very talented, but there's just the beginning of the process. We have a long way to go yet before we get to our final analysis. But if you're not doing your job if you don't do your due diligence and prepared for anything that can happen on draft.
Yeah. On Christian, you know, look at a guy like Eli Manning, who now has 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs. He didn't complete 60% of his passes in a season until his 5th year, and he didn't have a passer rating of over 80 until his 5th year. A lot of pressure on the Giants to maybe give up on him, and same with Tom Coughlin. How do you stay patient on a guy like that? Do you have to convince? I mean, where have you learned that discipline that you need to be patient with a guy?
You just know the history of rookie quarterbacks. You know the history of where these guys eventually end up. But what we did when we drafted Christian is we looked at a lot of the intangible part that made a difference between Eli Manning and a Jamarcus Russell.
Yep.
Okay, if you went to Eli Manning workout, you went to a Jamarcus Russell workout, that's night and day when you watch him throw the ball. Jamarcus Russell maybe had the strongest arm, the prettiest ball I've ever seen thrown at a workout. But at that position especially, there's so many other intangibles that go into that position. From the psychological testing, from the mental quickness, from the aptitude to handle that position, how they handle pressure, work ethic, leadership. So especially at that position, it's so important. And guys that may not be as physically gifted as some of the other quarterbacks, but those guys end up excelling because of the intangibles. And we felt very strong about Christian being in that category. But you have to also be patient and let the process take its course, because that – it's different than a running back. A running back can go out there, you can put the ball in a running back's hands, and he's going to utilize his athletic skill set And if he's a great athlete, he's going to make splash plays right off the bat. A quarterback, on the other hand, has so much thinking going on and so much to learn because of the coverages, things that are the adjustments, the speed of the game, how quickly you have to get the ball out, the people rushing. That just takes time.
Rick, it may be the dumbest question you get all day or all combine, but Robert Griffin III, I think the best way to put it is, where did he come from? I mean, it's like, I know he's played at Baylor for several years. Last year, absolutely blew up off the charts. So much so that I think, and you would know more about it than me, in almost ludicrous fashion, there were people at the end of the year saying, maybe he should go one, and all this stuff that Andrew Luck's done and everything we've heard about him, that we're just going to go ahead and shuffle him back to two or three. And are you wary when somebody has the season he had last year, but really just emerged on the big-time stage off 1 year?
That's part of the process that you go through. Is he a one-year wonder or is not? But again, a lot of the same stuff was said about Cam Newton when he came out.
Yeah.
Went to JC, played 1 year at Auburn, and he ended up having a great year his first year as a rookie.
Nothing but shotgun, telegraph the ball a little bit, look at him now.
You're right. So those are the things that you weigh in as you go through this process.
Yeah.
And that's, again, everything is so subjective. That's why you try to do all those other objective things from an intangible standpoint.
WobbyVikings.com, Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen, Scouting Combine, thanks to Max Ippon. Wobby?
Yeah, I'm going to switch gears a little bit to back to the pro game. Kind of a philosophical question. You know, we talked to Brad Childress about Joshua Cribbs. Maybe Joe Webb is in there. A guy that I really like is Brad Smith with the Bills. These versatile players that you can't really pigeonhole them to one position necessarily. Are there more of those guys coming out and into the NFL now? And then how has that changed how you evaluate a player?
You're going to look at the player's athletic skill set. And there are some players in this draft that, you know, I've personally seen that I've written up as athletes. And what it is that's where the coaches come in. This guy has such great athletic talent. How can we utilize that athletic skill set in our system?
Yeah.
So that's where it's very important that you're on the same page with the coach. If you're bringing in some of these top athletes, they have to have a game plan. They have to have an understanding on how they're going to utilize that skill set.
This, this, like you say, is your favorite time of the year. Okay, just a few more minutes with Rick Spielman, general manager for the Vikings. When you leave here, you have the business part of the equation comes into play. You have some very, very difficult decisions to make with people with whom you've worked for years. But to play in free agency the way I think you want to play, you got to find money. And how are you going to do it? How are you going to find the money to make a run at some of the receivers or cornerbacks or players you want to make in free agency?
When we get back, we'll have a very detailed meeting with myself, with Coach Frazier, with the ownership, and with Rob Brzezinski. And as Rob puts the money part of it together, we'll say, if we cut this player, where we're going to be from a cap standpoint, and how's that going to affect us, not only going into 12, but going into 13. And the difference, I think, now is, in my role, I have to understand what our roster is going to look like in 12, but it's also my job to keep this roster competitive and growing through 13 and beyond those years. So you're not going to make decisions based on one-year tunnel vision projections. You're going to have to look what gives us the best chance this year, but what is also going to help us in the future. And if you spend money on that player now, is that going to affect you from spending money on a player currently on your roster that may be up in 13? So a lot of that goes into play, too, if you're active in free agency, if you're not active in free agency, because you have to project your roster is going to look like beyond 2012.
Is Aaron Henderson considered the most coveted outside linebacker in free agency?
I don't know that. I haven't talked to the 31 other teams.
Yeah.
Aaron Henderson has done a good job for us and is a good football player.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I like about Aaron is coming in as an undrafted free agent, stand out on special teams, works his way into a starting role, and is a solid player. And when you can get, like, you can't spend $1.5 million on every single guy in your roster. There's some guys that are going to make a ton of money, and then you got to get by with guys that don't make a lot. And when you can get a guy in undrafted free agency, and that's what you guys do after the seventh round's over, you don't go home. I mean, you're on the phone with guys trying to sign them. It's so important, right, Rick, to get guys that might be able to work their way up the ladder, like an Aaron Henderson. Anthony Herrera is another good example of that.
One thing that we did different this year is really hone in without the players, just the position. So I asked Bill Musgrave, I asked Alan Williams and Leslie Frazier on the defensive side, where do we have to have blue-chip players? Okay, if you look at the study over the last 4 or 5 years, or over the Super Bowl winners, they usually have 4 blue-chip players on each side of the ball, what we call blue players.
Yeah.
Then they'll have red players, and they'll each play with 2 purple players, which are backup guys. And with those teams, have done a great job of maybe hiding that purple player's deficiency. What we want to know is, where do our blue players have to, what position do they have to line up at? And that's where we're going to allocate our finances to.
Yep.
So if it's an offensive guard, or if it's a safety or something that we can get by with in our scheme that doesn't have to be a blue player, he could be a red or purple player.
Yep.
Then we won't spend as much money in that area, and hopefully you'll be able to fill that with a younger guy.
Yep.
That will develop into that eventually.
In closing, some of the players and scenarios that we discuss and that I'm sure you think about with the 3rd overall pick, can you just give us some snippets on these guys off what you know now into the combine, the pro days and stuff like that, starting with USC left tackle Matt Khalil?
Very talented. You know, he's the brother of, the younger brother of Khalil down at Carolina that ended up in the Pro Bowl.
I think Ryan.
Yeah.
Very scrappy.
Yep. Very good athlete. Very nasty when you watch him on tape. You know, we haven't interviewed him yet. We'll interview him down here through the process to get that. But
yeah.
Very talented left tackle.
LSU cornerback Morris Claiborne.
Some people have said that he has even better ball skills than Patrick Peterson when Patrick Peterson came out. Patrick Peterson was an electric punt returner.
Yep.
Morris does some kickoff returns, but has very unique ball skills and a unique talent as far as a cover corner.
Is he far ahead of Drake Kirkpatrick of Alabama in the evaluation process?
Too early to sell yet.
Yep.
I mean, Kirkpatrick's also another big corner with long arms that's very talented.
The marijuana allegation with Drake Kirkpatrick, do you think that'll affect his draft status significantly?
Until, you know, we find out what happened and why it happened and dig further into that, we won't know that.
Justin Blackmon, wide receiver, Oklahoma State.
Another extremely gifted athlete, has exceptional hands, has very strong runner after the catch, has a knack for making big plays in the passing game. What was part of the reason why Oklahoma State got where they got, because of his playmaking ability. The biggest question will him, and everybody's going to want to see, and that'll be the talk of the combine, is what he's going to run in the 40.
Really?
And that'll determine a lot.
Do you think he's fast enough to blow the top off a defense at this stage?
Watching him on tape, he does make a lot of plays and explosive plays in the passing game.
Quentin Copels, defensive end, North Carolina.
Another very talented player. Was down at the Senior Bowl, played well in the Senior Bowl.
Stole the show, didn't he?
Yeah. Excellent size.
Yeah.
Has enough ability to hold his at the point in the run game.
Yeah.
Has some unique pass skills for his size. He'll be a very highly sought after defensive end, I would think.
And outside of the draft, the final one, I promise, the elephant in the room in the offseason, and I think plays into everything we've just talked about, is Chris Cook. You know, and I'm not going to ask you to project or make any predictions or anything, and as you've said before, the court case is going to play itself out. You guys opted to pay him last year while deactivating him, going in with a guy short every game for X amount of games. But given where you took him and what you think of him, you know, despite the fact that he doesn't have any interceptions in like 12 games, he's nevertheless a commodity, quote unquote. With pro days and free agency and the draft and everything, how difficult is it operating not knowing exactly what you're going to do with Chris Cook or if he's even going to be on the team?
You're assuming, what we assume is when we go into, regardless if it's Chris Cook or any position, you want to assume that you don't have anybody, and you're going to try to get the best players you can as you go through this thing. And then everybody who's in there and competing, whether they're there or not, is going to make your team better. But, you know, Chris Cook is a situation where we'll let it play out and then see where it goes. But as I said before, you can never have enough good corners in this league, and especially you can never have enough good corners in this division.
Right. And any idea when it's going to play out? Well, when the whole process is going to be over?
No.
No?
No.
Nope. Thank you very much for the time. We enjoyed ourselves. Hopefully you did.
Thank you for having me on. It was an honor and a pleasure to be with Coach Paul Allen on the radio.
Thank you, Rick. Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings, with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. We're at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis on your home for the Vikings in the National Football League, The Fan.